sick of all you sycophants, ignorance and miscreants, simpletons and little ants, trying to split their sentience. People peddle pestilence, land pipe on their settlements, and I don't think it was even food for it was excrement. Get your head in it. Second wind represent white shit. Kid, I never stepped in it. I reckon it's older than the New Testament. Edit it, shit. It's better to drink water for the...
Yo, this is another episode of Tequila. You know what it is. Today we're not taking shots, we're just chilling. I am Daniel Regera. With me today, I have...
Joe Padilla.
And then I have also...
Kyle Noya.
Joe and I are having... It's kind of sacrilegious on this podcast. We're having a rum-based cocktail.
Terrible, isn't it?
So yeah, fuck the namesake of this podcast.
We're actually rum-kila now.
That's right.
It's just...
We're rumming... Running rum, rum runners.
Rumming up that hill.
There you go. And then Kyle's drinking something with vodka, I assume?
No, I've got a whiskey Coke today.
Oh, shit, ooh. Look at you. Drinking the hard shit. You don't drink whiskey good. Around me, I'm offended.
What? Yeah, I do. Whatever. You'll see soon enough.
Okay, so today we're talking about just Pokemon and like queer identity within Pokemon. We kind of like got to chatting after the last episode we did together. Kyle, you can explain this better than I can. You explain.
I mean, it's all a little hazy because that's what this show is, but I definitely remember us being like, why does it seem like every queer person we know likes Pokemon?
Yes.
Or like, you know, any gamer especially that's queer definitely mm-hmm. has like some kind of Pokemon merch hanging off their backpack or plays Pogo. So I think we just all were like, hey, maybe we should ask around and see if that's actually true.
Yeah. I feel like the lowest common denominator is Pogo at the very least. Mm-hmm. And like whenever I go out in Boys Town, there's like Pokemon shit everywhere all the time. And like Pokestops, like Pokestops here. Yeah, I don't know. Let's cheers and kick it off. Salud.
Salud.
We can't see you. There you go. Hey. Clink. Out of the water bottle.
Yeah. It's the best thing with a spout.
The infamous green water bottle.
I've got a lot of nerdy shit on here, too. I don't have any Pokemon, though.
You should. What the fuck?
I know, right?
How are you on this podcast right now?
Don't worry, I've got Pokemon everywhere else. My sure. backpack is a Magikarp and Gyarados backpack.
Oh, that's wow. fucking amazing.
That's really cool.
You look at it and it's like, oh, that's a cool water backpack. Oh my god, it's god. Magikarp.
That's fucking awesome. I'm going to steal that from you.
Yeah.
And really then great. I'm going to steal that from Daniel.
Okay, so, what do we want to lay down the groundwork, I guess, for queerness in Pokemon?
Yeah, sure.
Those of you that don't know...
Webster's defines queerness.
No!
I think you mean quee.
Defines quee.
Let's look up the dictionary to know. It's throughout the years, there's been a lot of like references in the anime... to Jesse and James being not straight, at least, or at least like not gender or sexuality conforming, which is really interesting. I think James specifically has had a lot of instances where like he kind of
they cross dress so much.
Yeah, the cross dressing is a thing that happens a lot, and then there's also a thing with James just saying things that allude to being gay throughout that they sprinkle in there. So there's a lot of that. This cross-dressing of them doing magician stuff is interesting because Jesse's dressed in like a suit and then James is in a dress, which is fun.
I remember an episode where they were in a circus too and she had like the ringmaster like front and then he was like a ballerina or something.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That does ring a bell.
Well, why don't we talk about how like we experienced Pokemon? So like I watched sure. the anime a lot first.
Okay.
So the queerness of Jesse and James was very clear from the beginning.
Well, so how old were you at the time? You were a kid, probably.
Like 8, maybe.
Right. Okay. For me, it was more of... I watched a little bit of the anime, but I started playing Blue Version and then just got super into it. I don't know. I don't think I, as someone who's like very like recently bi and cisgendered, I don't have much of a horse in this race, but... at least in the beginning, I didn't feel anything like queer towards it, but it was kind of like a escapism thing for me personally. And then I know Joe's first one, I always tell him that he makes me feel old. Was your first one Crystal or Gold and Silver?
Crystal,
you motherfucker.
Well, yeah, because I had Crystal, because I had gotten a Game Boy Advance, and the pack-in game for it was Crystal, which is kind of odd, but
yeah, why would they put a Game Boy Color game?
Yeah, I don't really know, but so yeah, that was my first game with it, and I'd watched the anime quite a bit. My sister had like the trading cards and everything. So yeah, I didn't really pick up on any inherent queerness to begin with.
Sure.
I mean, I didn't really even think about queerness. I don't think I knew, like, I didn't know what being gay was until I was like 10.
Right.
And a bunch of people on my bus were like, oh, you're gay. And I was like, hey, I don't know what that means. and then I asked my dad what it was. And he was like, oh, it's like when a man likes men. Yeah. It's like, yeah, would marry a man. I'm like, all right. I still wasn't really.
Why is this derogatory?
Yeah, it was just really weird.
Yeah.
So,
I feel like that's a common experience for a lot of like queer folks in general too, like not knowing, being made fun of preemptively.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this episode we were like, I don't think we're necessarily proving our thesis of, man, there's a lot of queer folks in Pokemon, but I think the attempt was to just like get their take on like their fandom in Pokemon and ours and like talk about it. And so in that spirit, I have a couple interviews here that I wanted to play for us to talk about. So I guess let's just get into the first one. Yeah. You good, Kai?
I do want to say that once I took my Pokemon trading cards onto the playground in second grade and all the kids started fighting over which ones I would give them.
Oh.
And then they banned Pokemon trading cards the next day.
Wow.
So
way to ruin it for everyone else.
I know, I really did. But like, no, none of us knew how to play the trading card game, but we loved the art. And then, like, a lot of us watched the anime after school. I think the first game Pokemon game I ever beat was Crystal, though I did play Yellow. And for me, when I kept liking Pokemon after the other girls had moved on, that was, like, a sign. Not of queerness necessarily, but of, like, nonconformity.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, I feel like even, like, queerness aside, there's, like, a level of, like, escapism. I mean, part of this article we were looking at about queerness in Pokemon is, like, there's an escapism. I don't
Fantasy.
Know, outcast is the right word, but, like, a lot of, like, unaccepted folks in general gravitate towards Pokemon because it's, like, a really fun escapism thing that also the portability, I feel like, plays into it. But, Yeah, the escapism is a huge part of it for sure, and I don't know where it fits in this context. I think it just fits in general for everyone, escaping the shitty things in their lives.
Yes, Andy, you can move behind me. It's okay.
Also, like, I'm pretty sure everyone who was younger like didn't know how to play the Pokemon card game when they were kids. Like,
nope.
No one.
No.
It's like, what are these energies for? They don't even look cool.
No, I remember, like, I was trying to teach my grandma how to play, and I was like, mine has more HP. I win. That's it.
Yeah.
It was really dumb.
I remember playing the game with my friend, and basically, like, if your Pokemon was paralyzed, we were like, well, in real life, if you're paralyzed, you can't really fight, like, in the traditional sense. So if you're paralyzed, you're done. It's over.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, like,
you're just kind of there.
Yeah, your card is done.
Checks out.
Which is probably like a terribly ableist thing that we were taught as children. You know,
we didn't know any better.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Should we get into the first interview now or what?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go. Okay, so we have Mr. Greg Leatherman from the It's Super Effective podcast.
Yes.
Greg, how's it going?
I am doing well, thank you.
Cool. So Greg wanted to have like a more organic conversation instead of other folks who are like giving me just written stuff or them recorded by themselves. And I thought I'd roll out as much of a red carpet as I possibly could and grant him his wishes. And
thank
so here
you
we
very
are.
Much.
So yeah, Greg, real quick, I mean, I guess I intro'd you for you.
Yes,
but
you did intro for me. I'm from a number of podcasts. One of the big ones
that's
is
right.
Super Effective.
Yeah, you do a Dungeons and Dragons one, which I forget the name of.
We do Very Random Encounters, which is an actual play podcast.
Which sounds awesome.
And then we did do a D&D Pokemon podcast called Mythical. And then occasionally I'm a part of the B team for a board game podcast called Tuesday Night Games. So I do a number of different things.
Boom. Plug, 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 plug.
Plug, 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 plug. Get them all in there.
Okay. So, just wanted to run by, I guess you'll be the first one on our, podcast extravaganza here.
Yay.
So, just a softball for the first question. The first question is, what was your first entry into the Pokemon franchise?
The first one I bought was Blue.
Cool.
Back in 98.
Okay. Gotcha. Yep. That's about the same time I got it, I think.
Yes. I have a very different experience because I came to it as an adult.
Right.
So I don't have the childhood memories of it. I have all adult connections with it.
That's actually really interesting. I wonder, not to get too off topic, but I wonder how you saw that like Pokemon brain scan thing.
Yeah.
I wonder how much that applies to you. I guess if you play enough, it probably still applies to you.
There's rote memorization. I mean, we had to do a lot of date memorizing in school, which happens a lot less now. But like in my childhood, everything was memorize these dates, memorize these things. So memorizing 800 creatures is not as difficult as I may not have like lived algebra. With it.
Yeah,
but it's what I had to do to get through school because everything was memorization based back in the 70s. Right.
Okay, so you started with Blue, and then I don't know your history otherwise. Have you like played all of them, or have you skipped?
I played every game.
Okay, cool. You're and a cool kid, is what you're
almost
saying.
Almost every side game.
Okay, that I have not done. I think I need to catch up to you.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm trying to think of one that I haven't played, and I never played Hey You Pikachu, and I never played the Pokemon Park one.
I honestly don't know what Hey You Pikachu even like was in terms of gameplay. I know you talked to Pikachu, but I don't know what you did.
Talking to Pikachu and having Pikachu run around and be Pikachu. It wasn't that interesting.
So Siri with Pikachu, but the game.
Yeah, it's not that interesting. But yeah, that's why I skipped it. It was geared very young, so I was just like, But I've played everything else as far as I can remember.
Okay. Okay. And then you were an adult. So
yes.
How do you feel about like when it came into your life, like what it was for you, et cetera?
So it was, when I bought it, I thought it was just another JRPG. And in a lot of ways it is just another JRPG, but it does a bunch of things very uniquely, and the collecting part and the kind of the brilliant thing is that they have so many Pokemon, like everybody's bound to find one that they like and be drawn to. And the gameplay is very simple to get into, but they've built a lot of complexity beneath it to keep your interest. So when I first play it, I was just like, this is a pro, like there are things in this game that don't work because it's an early game, but it's so charming and so brilliantly done. That I just fell in love with it.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's more or less everyone's take, is that it's like there's something that's like really like whimsical about the game.
Yeah.
And then like the gameplay is rather unique. I mean, like there are not many games where you battle monsters or collect them even. Yeah. Okay. That seems to be a pretty standard answer. Going into like your, I guess like when you started playing it and picking it up, and then like the point of this podcast, you know, like your sexual orientation and, you know, nerd identity and outcast identity and all that stuff. Where does it fit in with that specifically?
So one of the big things about the Pokemon franchise is there isn't a romance in it. So
I never thought of that.
Continue. I don't have to pretend to be interested in the female protagonist. I don't have to rescue the female protagonist. I still have to save the world, but that's part of every RPG. But I don't have to pretend that I have to have romantic feelings for something that I just don't. and that was never a part of the games. It's never, it's not a really huge part of the world. Also, there's a little bit of the outsider identity of, you know, a small gay kid doesn't have a lot of friends, especially during kind of the isolationist era that I was a part of. So the idea of having protectors that can fight for me is really powerful. Like, these are my friends and they protect me, and everybody understands that. And so there's that draw there. Plus, it's just like, there's collecting, which is just a part of nerd culture. Let's collect a million things. Right. And it scratches that itch. But one of the big things about it is there's no romantic subplot that I have to pretend to be a part of. And it doesn't force that. It's also a very, for as weird as they are with their diversity, it is still a very equal world in that everybody can be this trainer. And that doesn't matter. Like, there's no bars, there's no limits there. They can just be. And that's very appealing.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, obviously in terms of like people of color or like trans folks, there's not really ton of, I mean, the more recent games like Sun and Moon had some like dark skinned folks.
They're getting maybe there.
Like, a few of the previous ones had some dark skinned folks, like, what's the librarian gym leader lady from Black and White?
Lenore.
Yes. Like, she's pretty dope. Yeah. I mean, she's like one of the few though.
They're beginning, right? Like, Japan does not have a great understanding of racial history.
Of course.
And so
some would say a bad understanding of racial
history. Yeah, it's not great. so I think they're getting there slowly as they are forced to become a more world company. Mm-hmm. And as they will be forced to shake off their Japanese identity, I think it will change more. But right now, we're just not there. But it's also not, it's not a huge detractor from the gameplay. Like,
sure.
Now that they've added customization and, you know, they have things where you can at least represent yourself. Yeah, you're alone in the world, but that's also not a limiting factor for being in the world. You may be the only person in there, but you're also the only person that's saving the world. So it's tempered a little bit by that. I mean, there are zero gay people except for possibly that one couple having dinner in X. Like, there are zero in the series.
I feel like, is James not, like, implied at some points?
He's tropey-plied, right? Like, the tropes around why he has the flower and all the trappings around James suggest that, yes, he is probably a gay person, but it's not explicit.
Sure.
And so unless they come out and say it, it doesn't count.
Right.
J.K. Rowling. Doesn't count. It's not in the books.
Well, let's not get into Death of the Author.
No, we're not. We're moving on.
But that was a good clap back or clap forward.
Clap aside, whatever.
That's right. Okay, and then final question, and I guess like feel free to rant about any of the questions I've asked up until now. But the final question is just, how do you feel, if at all, that Pokemon facilitates connection within, or in your instance, the gay community or like queer community in general?
Well, the games rely on trading, right? Like, it's a friend-based system.
Mm-hmm.
And so that begins the conversation. And queer people tend to rely on their communities and their found families. Like, that's a big part of it. And that's a kind of a big part of the games, too. Like, you leave your home and you are out on your own and you travel with your new family, new friends. And also, you know, the way they present the friendship with your Pokemon, like, you are creating this family with you. And so it's a very queer experience in that way, because you are leaving home, whether or not they wanted you to or not. Like, you are setting out to start on a journey and discovering who you are, discovering yourself, making your family, making your own friends. And like, apart from giving you shoes, your mom or dad doesn't really come into it. And like, you really have to rely on other people. So like, there's like a solidly gay core experience that's built into those games.
Sure.
And so I think people just respond to that. I think it, like, I don't know that it has that much resonance with straight people who generally can have, expect to have a lot of support from their parents and family. As whereas I think gay people approach it from a very different aspect, a very like, yeah, I had to create my own way. I had to find my own way. And I, you know, I started with nothing and now I'm the champion. Like there is a champion story that speaks to everybody, but I think really speaks to empowering gay people in a slightly different way. I think we approach it in a very, with a very different set of eyes looking at it and sort of saying, yes, these are my people. This is what I am now. And I don't ever have to go back home. I can, I can be out and on my own.
Yeah. That's super insightful. Like I never connected that, honestly. And as soon as you said that, I was like, yes, yes. Yeah. Makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I have to ask you. Do you have anything else to add?
I don't think so. I think that's good.
No? Okay.
It's a great series. I love it a lot. It's opened, like, not only, like, game-wise, but just, like, coming, you know, I'm almost 50. And because of this
you,
game
you
series,
struggled to say that. You were like,
well, I'm like, okay, I'm turning 49 soon. Like, I'm close to 50. It'll be 50 in a year and a half.
You're getting that.
But, like, to find a community of people around this game and then also have it shift my life in such a in a wild way that, like, 3 years ago, I was never a podcaster. I never had equipment, never did any of this. And through this game and these people and a shared community, like, my world has taken a very different trajectory. And it's there's something about this community, while there can be bad actors in it,
of course,
there's still a strong sense of friendship and family with people who play this game that I think you don't get with a lot of other games. Like, all the competition is friendly for the most part. You know, that, you know, it's just a very unique game that fosters a very unique community that I'm very happy to be a part of.
Yeah. Yeah. Snaps all around. 100% agree. Okay. So Kyle, just like coming off that, actually, what he was saying at the end, I'm curious how much of that reflects in Smash Bros. Stuff. He's talking about, like, while there are bad actors, like, the community itself is really strong and, like, they're, like, better for having it, kind of thing.
When he talks about Pokemon, like, being a trading game, and that, like, facilitates socializing with other people, I think that Smash is that, like, to a whole nother level, because you really can't do much on your own in Smash.
Right.
Versus, like, Pokemon, like, trading is an opportunity, but you could beat the game without ever doing that.
Right.
So I think Smash is sort of a... it matters more when there are bad actors because there's more person-to-person contact.
Yep.
But, like, a lot of what he said was super insightful, especially about, like, the journeying it on your own thing. Like, I was like, oh, man. I remembered that feeling of, like, you're a kid on your own and going on your journey and, like...
Right.
Whether you're an outcast because you're queer or for other reasons, that super resonated.
Yeah. And, like, having that insight, he was talking about how it's kind of, like, going off and, like, being a queer person, like, having your chosen family kind of thing. Like, it kind of reflects that aspect. I was like, holy shit, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
So that's super interesting. And, like, that's what appeals to a lot of us as Pokemon fans is, like, you know, being... I remember when I was a little kid playing the game, I was like, man, if only I could just, like, walk to the gas station, buy some Pokeballs, and, like, walk into the woods and, like, catch some fucking Pokemon. There's kind of that, like, going off on your own plus fantasy aspect to it. And seeing it, like, or hearing about it through his, like, through a queer person's eye, through a gay man's eyes, I should say, in this instance, is super interesting. Yeah, when he said that, I was like, wow, that's extremely insightful. I found that super interesting.
I kind of felt that way because my parents were divorcing when I was at the age where I really played Pokemon a lot. And I was just like, I wish I could go out and leave all that.
Yeah.
This crap from my house behind and just be an adventurer and a hero.
For me, it was literally right after my parents divorced.
Yeah.
And we moved to, like, a new town and kids made fun of me and I went through a rough patch. I remember, it was bad. Not a good time in life.
For me, yeah, it was around, like, kind of similar circumstances, because I believe around that time was when my mother had re-diagnosed, I guess, because she had beaten back cancer, and then it had gone to remission, and then it returned, and it was around that same time. And I have very powerful memories of being in hospitals and such with her, you know, in the waiting room, playing Pokemon Ruby, because I didn't want to think about what was going on in the hospital room or anything else that was going on. I just had to focus on leveling up my Bayonet to level 100 because I was like eight, 9 years old at the time, and I was like, I need to focus on this because everything else that's going around me is so much more than a 9 year old brain, 8 year old, 9 year old brain can really handle.
Yeah.
And so it was a form of escapism, but it was also a form of centering that I was able to kind of put my thoughts in order by being able to follow a linear progression in this game, if not in life at the time.
More snaps.
Yeah. So many feelings. I'm having so many feelings.
So all of the feels. All of the feels. I really think that this is core for a lot of folks, is that like there's some sort of like shit you're going through. I mean, it's not just Pokemon, obviously, but like that's a big part of Pokemon fandom, is like there's some shit you're going through, and it's a way to kind of just like Joe's saying, like center yourself on something else or like focus on something else, plus the escapism, the fantasy, to try to like get out of that headspace to a certain degree.
And it's like a whole nother world. Like,
right.
This, like, you really get absorbed because it's nothing like what we see. You know, there are Pokemon that are serving you drinks in cafes and, you know, like, and then you sit there and you're like, I wish I could, you know, see a Gyarados just looking out at the lake by my house or whatever. Yeah,
yeah. You know? I explicitly remember having so many memories like that. Yeah, just like wishing like you could like walk out and like catch a Pokemon and start your own adventure and shit like that, and kind of blaze trails, as it were, and meet a bunch of people and stuff. There's a lot of that aspect that still like rings true every time I play the game. It hits you right in the fucking feels, man. Every fucking time. I'm just looking at more of the queer Pokemon on this page. Those of you that are listening should go to the Tumblr, because it's a good place to go. All Pokemon are gay and trans. There's a lot of fun stuff on there. But yeah, Greg's commentary was super, super insightful. I feel like it, especially like the bit about the chosen family stuff. I was like, oh man, I've never gone through that, so I've never had to think about it in that context. But it makes so much sense now, because like, you know, even as someone who might not be like, for all intents and purposes, I've lived a straight lifestyle, but yeah, I've never had to like experience any form of oppression that way, and so I don't think about it that way. And so it's super interesting having these conversations to kind of start thinking about the game in that way, and just feel like nerddom in general.
Strangely enough, I have a weird connection with Greg, which I didn't know about until we started listening to that. Greg. So my sister, her best friend is Steve from It's Super Effective.
Oh shit!
So I was like, wait, why do I know this name? And then when it said from It's Super Effective, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was very interesting when he brought up the fact that there are no romance elements really in Pokemon. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, like that's something that's so wonderful to me, because I never really feel like I have to worry about that. You know, in I was just recently playing Final Fantasy VII, and there's a scene where you have to go on a Ferris wheel with one of three characters, and you know, two of them are women that you have, that you're going to have just like some sort of romantic interest with Tifa and Aerith, and then the other one's Barret, who, you know, It's a dude with a gun for an arm, which is just, yeah, amazing. But it's played as a bit of a joke. But I'm like, yo, if Barrett was a real person, I would probably be pretty down with him. Like, yeah. So I didn't like pursue that sort of option because it wasn't an actual romance. And with Pokemon, yeah. I don't have to worry about that.
Right.
It's just
right.
It's just I can play the game. I don't think Ash, like, there's ever really any romantic stuff with Ash, even though he's been on TV for so damn long at this point.
Right.
It's just, like, my arrow/ace hero, Ash Ketchum.
Well, it's such an anomaly in, like, Japanese media in general, like JRPGs.
Anime,
especially. I mean, like, the fucking love triangle is such a fucking trope. In so many fucking, or just like some sort of like romantic interest is in, God, if I were to venture a guess, like 90% of JRPGs in anime. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that part is really interesting. And I guess that's obviously because it's geared towards children. So like, you know, you don't want that, but that's part of what makes it more, what's the word? Not pure, but more like clean. Like, it's a cleaner, as in like you can kind of like project yourself onto the experience as opposed to like living the character's experience. Like, especially like the fact that Red, when you meet Red in all the games, all he says is dot dot dot, mm-hmm. or like kind of how like Link doesn't talk. Like, you know, Link obviously blonde dude, you can't change how he looks or whatever. But part of Link not talking or like Red not talking is like you being able to live through Red or Link kind of thing. And so this feels like. It's doing a good job of allowing the person who's playing to like put themselves into the game without any like gender or sexual orientation expectations, which is super interesting.
I like the, well, so I remember when I played Crystal and you could choose girl or boy,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, oh cool, I'm a girl, and that was awesome.
Right.
I was also like, but it's exactly the same game.
Right. It doesn't change. And
yeah, I think that could be good, but like as a young girl, I also felt like the people would have told me different things if I went on a Pokemon journey. Like
as a
my
girl.
Mom would have been more concerned if I were a girl, and
does that lend itself more to the fantasy or does that break the fantasy?
For me, it was too much, too unrealistic. Like it was disappointingly. It didn't reflect my actual experience. I just felt like, oh, they put a girl character in just to have a girl character.
Right.
Which was rad to play as a girl character, but also like...
Nothing changed.
That would actually affect your experience.
Of course. Yeah. No, that's an important... That's a good point. I actually haven't thought of that either. Where like, of course, going through the world as a girl is going to change. do you think that shit's like a little too heavy for kids, though?
Yeah, probably.
But it's accurate to, like,
reality. I mean, I was 12 playing Crystal. So.
Sure.
Yeah. By then, at that age, girls have already been hit on by, like, creepy 50-year-old men. Sorry.
Oh, God.
You don't have to go down that very depressing route.
It's part of reality. We will do Unlike Pokemon and talk about depressing realities.
Sigh.
Big sigh. Sad.
Speaking of depressing realities, no. but in the games, the avatars have kind of been interesting for me because I always, you know, picked the boy avatar when it says, are you a boy, are you a girl? Because every JRPG that allows you that option always gives you that binary. And it's like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. But in the most recent game that I played, which was Ultra Moon, this is the first game that I ever chose girl at the start of it, and it felt like kind of exhilarating, you know. I was like, oh yeah, this feels interesting, this feels better, you know. And it's like even though it's still a binary that you're given, the having somewhat of a choice I think is somewhat important. And I do kind of like that your journey isn't different however your avatar identifies in the game. Because it's a bit unrealistic, definitely. But it also just makes you remember, like, oh, regardless of my you know, the gender that I pick at the start of the game and whatever, it doesn't change the fact that, like, you know, this is my Pokemon team or something like that. It's not like, oh, you're a boy, so you can't have a Ninetales on your team, or you're a girl, so you can't have a Machamp. So,
right. I that was always the coolest option. Like, Pokemon were, some Pokemon are very clearly gendered, and other Pokemon right. are ambiguous enough, and the fact that, you know, there are girl and boy of almost every Pokemon, like, you could craft your team however you wanted, and they were creatures that were not held to gender expectations like humans were. Mm-hmm. Like, that was always cool. I do wish, I don't know. I think in the newer games, no, I remember what I was going to say. I actually, a little while back, wrote an article on people who play avatars that are different genders than themselves. And so we should link that, because I talk to a lot of people who, like, are trans and explored it that way, mm-hmm. or, like, are just guys and, like, they just think that it's a better story when you're the girl. A lot of different takes on that.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Also, we didn't mention in the beginning, what's really interesting is that there's, like, I don't know, there's certain, like, designs of Pokemon that are, you know, like, more masculine, like we're talking about Machamp and stuff, or, like, you know, the Tauros and Milktank thing. Mm-hmm. But also there's a lot of, like, genderless Pokemon too, which is really interesting, like Ditto, a lot of the legendaries.
Yeah.
106.
Genderless? Damn.
Yeah.
What's interesting is the non-legendaries that are genderless, because they make the legendaries genderless just so you can't breed them, which is kind of a cop-out.
Right, yeah.
But the genderless non-legendaries are really interesting. Like, I think a lot of the steel Pokemon are, just because they're, like, supposed to be kind of, like, robotic, mm-hmm. I guess.
Like Magnemite.
Right, yeah. And, like, Metang and Metagross and all them. Beldum, I think, as well.
Oh, they're in the same evolutionary line, so... Just as they go down the lines, like,
you have a gender.
Beldum has a gender, and then Metang and Metagross will, like, the evolved form, like, I have changed, mother.
How do y'all feel? I felt so, like, there are Pokemon in the earlier gens that were, like, animalistically like feminine or masculine. I felt like in the later gens there are some that are, like, more anthropomorphically gendered.
Yeah,
it's kind of odd.
I still think that they will never live down the fact that they made Nidoran female and Nidoran male.
You're right. Like,
clearly they never thought they would have a gender system. Yeah, like that.
No, that's now pretty funny.
We have two Pokemon literally with their gender in their names.
Right. No, but, like, having. I love Sylveon's design, but, like, bows that are part of its flesh is kind of weird. Like, anthropomorphizing the feminine aspects is a little weird. Like, I don't know, I always thought, like, Milotic was very feminine in the way it looked, but, like, more animalistically so, as opposed to, like, anthropomorphically so.
As opposed to Lopunny.
Right, Lopunny is very... I don't even have a problem with Lopunny. It's when you get into, like, Incineroar is just a dude. Mm-hmm. And, like, Primarina is always a girl, which is cool, and I love Primarina, but I kind of prefer the more animalistic take on it personally. That's just me ranting.
So basically what you're saying, Daniel, is that you're a furry.
That's right.
A little bit.
Yiff yiff. Hooray.
Oh my god.
I'm saying I'm Quee.
Okay.
Alright, I googled every times James has been in a female costume, and there's actually
a lot.
A lot. I should send this to you all.
Is there anything that you wrote in that article off the top of your head that you remember now that you want to talk about or not?
Well, just that games are a space for us to try out different identities, and some games it's more serious than others. So, like, choosing your gender in Pokemon is sort of inconsequential, and there are actually several fantasy games where it doesn't make a huge difference besides limiting your romantic options.
Sure. Oh my god, Officer Jenny, James.
Yeah.
There's so many.
I remember quite a few of these, yeah.
I vaguely remember the last one where he has, like, long hair and, like, a dress. Long red hair and a dress.
Yeah, that was when James was, like, participating. I think Jesse and James were both, like, participating in, like, the championship, essentially. Oh my God. Or they were like in contests or something.
And like in character someone mm-hmm. else.
Oh, interesting. Oh my God, the Hula One girl doesn't even look like James.
No.
Oh my
God. There's a lot early on. It's like in the first 50 episodes, like every 10 episodes, essentially, because there are five in the first... Actually, there are eight in the first 61 episodes.
Yeah.
And then they kind of petered out as time went on. The heck? They went 98 episodes without James cross-dressing? This is...
How?
This is this is homophobic. This is...
A travesty.
This is oppressive, and I hate it.
Okay, in the Reddit thread canceled. Where I found this image, it says... First comment, that can't be all the times he's cross-dressed. There has to be more.
There must be. I need it. I require it.
That's right. Wait, the second to last one, oh, it's just crop top. It's just Jesse's clothes.
He was acting as Jesse when he was actually James, yeah.
Oh.
Not that fantastic. That would change anything, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they still do bad guy things, try to steal Pikachu.
That sailor outfit is killing me. Like, that's great.
I know.
It's so good.
I mean, it's cute as fuck.
Yeah.
I kind of want to wear it.
Do it.
Let's go.
There's also a marriage scene where Jesse and James are in the opposing roles.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
oh my gosh.
That reminds me of, with James, in terms of, like, queerness, he had, in the anime, there was, like, a girl back home. Do you remember this? There was like a girl back home who wanted to be with him, but he ran away to a life of crime.
Oh my God.
To do that, like to get away from her.
Yeah.
So like, so, you know, most of us, it's like, oh, that's
okay. Oh my God, this Ekans and coughing thing. You just, oh my God.
I remember that. Yeah. But you know, most of the, it was like James literally turned to having a record just so he would not have to get married to a woman. And if, like, that doesn't scream, like, some of the goofy shit that I would do, like, yeah, that's, like, I feel you, James.
As the only child of millionaires, James endured formal society growing up. At a young age, he was engaged to a girl named Jessie Bell.
That's right, Jessie Bell. Yes.
Instead of Jezebel, he wanted to marry her at some point, but changed his mind after he saw how controlling and overbearing she was.
So what you're saying is James is, one, gay, and two, a class traitor.
Yes! He's the hero we didn't know we needed.
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually amazing. Oh, God.
It's like he's a class traitor, though, who works for, like, you know, a billionaire with Giovanni. So, like, James has difficult politics.
The anti-hero class traitor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's complicated.
Okay, I have... Do y'all want to hear the second interview now?
Yeah.
Roll tape!
Roll tide.
Go. Ew, no.
Hi, my name is Jordan, and I am a library science student, and I'm a transgender woman.
I had no idea that you're a library science student. That's actually really cool.
Oh, thank you. At least I think it's cool too. Yeah. How many people do?
Well, my partner's a psych PhD. So yeah, she like fucking loves librarians. Anyway.
Awesome. I love her.
Yes. Thank you for being on. Very much appreciate it. I found you again through, you know, the Pokemon community that I found, you know, everyone else through Greg and them. But yeah, let's get it started. Okay, so first question I have for you, Ms. Jordan, is what was your first entry into the Pokemon franchise?
My first entrance was my super nerdy older cousin, when I was like 9 or 10. He was like really tapped into nerd culture, specifically Japanese nerd culture. So he always had his pulse on what was hot and new. I remember going to... like because my uncle my aunt's house and he had like a Pokemon mouse pad. I remember specifically it was Pikachu, Jigglypuff, and some third one, probably Meow.
Was this the 90s or like early 2000s?
Yeah, around there, late 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
So like right around when probably Red and Blue was just getting here, but maybe after that.
Sure. The mouse, the mousepad gave it away. I was like, mousepad.
No, mousepad stuck in my head. And then I forget how I eventually got blue version for my Game Boy, mm-hmm. and yellow, and so on and so forth.
Right, right, cool, yeah. Okay, so got that out of the way. And then, at what stage in life were you at the time that you were introduced to the Pokemon franchise?
Oh God, I was like 9 or 10. I was pretty young. I was definitely in elementary school. I don't remember the exact year I got it. That's all like hazy and fuzzy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was very young.
Right, right, a kid.
Yes, I was a child.
Okay, and then so the big question. This is the main topic of conversation. So, what significance, if any, does Pokemon play into like your queer or nerd or just identity overall?
Well, overall, I just love Pokemon. It's cute. It's actionable. It's fun. You know, what's not there to love? There's a blue turtle in there. That's what hooked me. But
there's two now.
That's right. Oh, I guess when thinking about how like my queerness or being trans relates to Pokemon, I really had to think back. I don't know how many listeners are into the games, but for the first few games, it was just you're just a player. You're usually kind of like a boy player, or whatever.
Right.
But it wasn't until Crystal version that for the famous lines for Oak, are you a boy or are you a girl?
Right, right.
Everyone loves because you can't see who you are.
Right.
And obviously I was like, oh, I'm clearly a girl. This is awesome.
Mm.
But later on I realized, hey, a boy probably shouldn't be choosing this option. Mm. So I just kind of didn't do that option for a while.
Mm.
But every game afterwards, when I came to that, I would legitimately like take me 10 minutes to get past that screen,
right,
put it down, maybe take a walk, come back, it's like, can I click this?
Damn.
So, yeah, kind of like that. No, it wasn't until like a long time later that I could do that, which is funny because that's such an easy thing. But for the majority of my life, I'm very deeply closeted. I didn't even know the word transgender until like my first class of college, which is of course deviant behavior, which is very appropriate for me. But I had that feeling throughout, you know, like all my life, all through high school, that I was a quote, you know, be the cliche, a girl in a boy's body.
Sure, sure.
But for Pokemon, like it was like a really weird thing. You think video games are the safest place to, you know, explore who you are.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I was just like so repressing of myself that I wouldn't even allow myself to choose the female character, lest someone would take the time and effort to open my Game Boy and look.
Right.
And two, give a crap about it.
Right, right. Or if they're like battling you, you're like, yeah, whatever, I picked a girl.
Yeah, I mean, a billion people do that anyways online.
Right, so of course.
I was making much more of a deal out of it. It wasn't until Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, the Ruby and Sapphire remakes, that I was like, you know, I'm just going to do it this time. And
wow.
Been there like ever since, yeah.
Wow, it took you that long, damn.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but it was around that time that I was like, okay, am I going to like do something about this? And that was kind of... Weird thing is, that was kind of like the kicking off point for me in my other life, so.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, was that like moment an affirming one for your trans identity, or was it, I don't know, like, I guess speak a little more to that. I'm curious.
Yeah, so it was very affirming because I would very rarely let myself indulge in, you know, like gender affirming activities or clothes.
Right.
It's because, you know, it's closeted and hiding is like so deeply ingrained into me. It's really like, it takes a toll on you, like mentally, emotionally. You don't even realize you do this thing.
Damn. But, yeah.
Yeah. But no, like being able to do that, I was kind of like being able to free myself a little bit. And, you know, that was like my first step into being who I am and like presenting who I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome and crazy. That's,
I know, like not everyone else is like, oh, this and this happened to me. I was like, yeah, I really wanted to play the Pokemon female character.
Right. No, but I feel like the reason that I wanted to do this episode is because, like, video games and maybe even specifically Pokemon is, like, a way for folks, I mean, especially trans folks, but, like, queer folks in general, mm-hmm. to, like, kind of play with affirming that stuff or just, like, role play to see if, you know, like, that is who they are kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, totally. And the latest games, like Sun and Moon, mm-hmm. they don't even ask, like, they didn't even ask, are you a boy or a girl? It said, which one do you look like?
Yeah, just
something
pick
like
one.
That. And just had, like, had a few, like, color, skin colors and male and female, you know,
right.
looking like. So, yeah, they're making strides.
Right. That's crazy. That's such an interesting experience. Like, I've never, I don't know, you're the first trans person I've interviewed for this, and I've never heard anyone, you know, talk about what that experience is like, trying to pick between the boy or the girl. And I can't imagine what that would be like, kind of like sitting there trying to, like, either further repress or affirm how you feel, you know, like.
Yeah, you think it's nothing at all, but it's totally a big thing when you're, like, young and closeted and.
Yeah.
Fearful and confused. I would pick the girl character, play a little bit, but, like, okay, like, I'm not gonna save though. That's enough for one day.
Wow, damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, hopefully it's much easier nowadays for younger people to just do that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, of course.
And this is just me. I'm just a very self-repressed person. So.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's very unfortunately not uncommon for folks to be, you know, self-repressing their gender identity. Yeah, like, I don't know, it seems like a common story from what I've heard from folks.
I think so. I haven't met that many in real life, but I assume it's the same.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so are there any other, like, aside from your like trans identity, your gender identity, is there anything else about the games that you, like, identity wise or otherwise, kind of gravitate towards?
Pokemon's, like, one of the games I've played all the time throughout my life. There's always been a staple, and it's kind of always been my rock in a way, because well, it has, like, yeah. I used to travel between states with my dad and my mom, and despite all the moving and such, I was like, oh, whatever, I have my Pokemon version. And that was kind of my little safe haven I could go into.
Mm.
And it still was for a lot of my years, you know?
Gotcha.
It's hard to explain when you've just been playing it for so long. It's just a part of you almost. You don't even think about it.
Yeah, my friends will always be like, why does Daniel like Pokemon so much? Like, it's not, like, all the things that it does, other games do better, like collection or, like, battling. And it's like, I don't know. I just, like, love Pokemon, man. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, the franchise got me and I'm hooked, and
got you by the little hooks.
Yeah, and that's it. I don't know. It's hard to verbalize.
It is, because a lot of my brain is just useless Pokemon information. I'm praying for the day when, like, someone bursts into a bank and it said, I'm gonna kill everyone unless you can name which Pokemon is flying and electric. I'm like, guys, I got this. But no, it's never come in handy, but I still love it. And I will say, as a little side, there is a canon transgender woman in the Pokemon games.
Oh?
Yes.
What?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people do or don't know about this,
I didn't know this.
In the Pokemon X and Y games, which was the first one for Nintendo 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
She's an NPC. She's, like, such a minor character. It's so easy to miss her. There's a section called the, I know you probably know this, but I'm explaining for everyone else
who isn't
well versed. There's this little area called the Battle Maison where you can just battle random trainers for battle points. You use it in other stuff. And one of them is called Beauty Nova. You can look this up. There's probably a lot of stuff.
I'm literally Googling it right now.
Yeah, Beauty Nova, Pokemon XY. And the only reason that you know is because she mentions if you defeat her, like, she always talks about transformation and her clothes. I've been reborn as a beauty at last. And she says, yes, a mere half a year ago, I was a black belt. Quite the transformation, wouldn't you say?
Oh, my God.
And if you don't know, black belt isn't capitalized. That's a character class that's male only. So
right. It's one of those, like, archetypes that they always throw in the
yeah,
game.
It's, yeah, I mean, there's a female equivalent, but she doesn't say, like, battle girl, whatever that is.
Right, yeah, whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a minor detail, but, like, I'm going to hook onto this random person that's probably throwaway and just love this person forever. Wow,
I never caught this, but this is actually so fucking cool.
Oh, it's so easy to miss, but, like, when I found this, I was, like, through the roof. I'm like, holy crap, this is so... This is so affirming for me. I love this.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so great. I didn't even know that. That's insane. I wonder if they even like meant it in a trans way. Maybe they did.
I mean, the Japanese translation is also like, I forget what exactly it is, but it also is very much the same line of thought. Hey, I was a black belt. And now I'm a woman now.
Dang.
I mean, I don't even know why they did that. I don't really care why they did that.
I mean, maybe it is, like, trans-affirming. That's so fucking cool.
It's probably just, like, one of those random things they threw in there. Just, like, oh, a little Easter egg for the person that's actually reading the text. But you don't. You just, like, you jam
you just
the...
Like, yeah, you just mash yeah, the A like, button.
Give me, whatever. Give me on to the next battle, please.
Yeah.
So I probably missed her a billion times before I had it found online.
That's crazy. That's wild. That's so cool.
Yeah, it is.
What? Oh. Okay, I have a last question for you, sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
The last question was just, do you think, and this question actually came from Will, thank you, Will. Do you think that Pokemon facilitates connection with others in your community? I guess this one, I would say not just trans, but just like queer folks in general.
I would definitely say so. I mean, I don't play Pokemon Go, but that is definitely, I imagine, really helped people connect. Mainly in a city area. I live in a suburb, so there's not much. But
right.
But the few times I have gotten together for Pokemon events, it's always been a special experience since it's very rare for me.
Mm-hmm.
And even just people not like me, like even a plain random card game with some little kid who kicked in my ass.
Right.
was very good. But yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of nerd cultures, subcultures in different games just like this, probably in Overwatch and
sure.
Fallout or whatever. But yeah, you know, like when you meet someone like yourself, you want to, oh my gosh, I haven't seen a queer person all my life. Let's be best friends. And you also love Pokemon. That's great.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, speaking personally, that's been amazing for me. I didn't know how awesome that was until I realized that, like, oh wow, I can just be me, and also, talk about why Charizard is awful or the best. So yeah, it's really awesome.
Yeah,
it's like this little safe haven, this in your pocket of your own world.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I have for you. I don't know if you have anything else to add.
No, not really. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for being on.
No, my pleasure. I didn't drink any tequila shots beforehand. I'm not sure if that counts toward your episode vibe.
You know, I think it'll be okay. I think.
Okay. Just making sure.
Okay, yeah. I want to throw out there that these folks, there's like a Slack community for the podcast that Joe brought up earlier, that also Greg brought up because he's from the podcast. The podcast is It's Super Effective. And then like, if you do the like $1 Patreon at least, then you get access to the Slack. And in the Slack community, there's a channel. It's like one of those hidden channels that's for queer folks that's called Fairy Types. Which is such a good name.
Oh, that's so good.
And I was like, yo, there should be one for people of color called Dark Types. But anyway.
A lot of thoughts. Yeah, a lot of what Jordan was saying was really resonating with me. Like that a boy shouldn't be choosing this option.
Mm-hmm.
Can I click this?
Yeah.
That it reminded me of, I was playing Shovel Knight last week.
Sure.
And Shovel Knight has, like, originally the characters are made that Shovel Knight's a man, Shield Knight, who is his partner, is a woman. And then almost all the characters, almost all the bosses are men, except for the kind of big baddie who's the enchantress. But to be more accepting, the creators of Shovel Knight made it possible for you to change the sprites to more like opposite presentation sprites, and so they can be like femme, Shovel Knight, and such. And they also allow you to choose the pronouns that they have, but which was cool. But I also had like the same exact thing where I sat for like 10 minutes. I was like, who should Shovel Knight be? What is their identity? And I was like, they originally made it this way, but they allowed these options so that it can be more accepting. But do I do that? And so that was something that was really resonating with when Jordan said that. And the whole thing of like playing as a girl in the game and not saving, or like playing through the kind of gender issues that you're working out yourself, kind of resonated with me as well. And this is something that Kyle's probably going to talk more into about avatars and such. But it reminded me of a few months ago, I was in therapy, and I was like, you know, I could deal with my gender, or I could just get a subscription to Final Fantasy 14, make a fun character, and just call it a fucking day. And my therapist was like, yeah, so, like, I mean, you could still, like, play that game if you want to, but you really shouldn't make that. You're, like, you're going to want to actually explore your gender in a not virtual realm. And I think that kind of straddles that line between escapism and when you're actually using games and such as a tool to work through what is physical and present in your life. And it can be kind of a fine line to walk across.
Yeah.
Snaps. Yeah. I also think there are some big differences between a game where it's just you and, like,
right,
you know, if someone... No one has to know that you picked the girl character in Pokemon for the most part. Versus like playing an MMO where experiences are actively filtered through what your people think your character is.
Right.
So one of the stats I pulled for that article was that 23% of men play as women. Avatars.
Wait, give the title of the article just so people can search.
The player makes the avatar, makes the player. It's with 6x8 Press. Which is like a theater.
Who's it by?
Me?
There you go.
Was that not clear?
No, I just wanted you to throw that out there. That's
oh, Kyle Noya, yes. And so, like, I remember in MMOs when I played, just because you were a girl character, people didn't assume you were a girl. Because lots of guys say, I play the Night Elf because she's hot.
right.
But, you know, it's not... For that article, I actually interviewed my friend Ray. Mm-hmm. At the time, he was presenting female, but he is a transgender man. And Ray was like, I just looking at hot guys. And in retrospect, Ray was like, well, I like looking at hot guys, but I also enjoyed the experience of being a guy.
Right.
Like, you know, and doing that in like Skyrim, where it's single player, or online. I've had friends who actually use voice modifiers to sound lower. And some of that is strategic avoidance of harassment. And
oh, shit.
Yeah, and some of that is, these people don't know me. I'm going to present how I want to present, and they're going to react the way I want them to based on the information I'm giving them. Or, well, they're going to react based on how they think, you know, the limited information I'm giving them. And so, yeah, I think it's like a way to explore whether you do it on your own and you're asking yourself for the first time, like, is this okay to be a boy or a girl? That's not a question I've ever asked myself playing a game, because, you know, the default is usually a guy. But, like, it can be a good opportunity. And I'm glad, before the podcast started recording, we were talking about games that let you, like, not be a gender binary anymore. What did we come up with?
I don't remember, to be honest.
Okay, no, you weren't here. The Sims 4. You can choose not only like your character's appearance and their voice and everything, but you can also choose like if they can or can't get pregnant and like different ways of.
Oh, that's super interesting.
Yeah, like they go all in on The Sims. Yeah, so it's. I feel like things are changing and people are being allowed to experiment more and more, which is really great.
Okay.
Also, that the black belt to beauty transformation thing, that is definitely like not a meme, but like a beloved story.
I had no idea until the interview. I was like, what? Yeah.
There's like a lot of trans people that point to that and go like, yes! Or the fact that Sylveon's colors are like trans flag colors.
Oh, yes. That I've seen. Yeah. I was looking for this meme I couldn't find, but talking about your friend Ray, there's this meme where it's like Lindsay Lohan from like a movie that she was in when she was a child, where it's like she's holding two drinks. It's the one where like she plays two twins. I forget the name of that
movie. Parent Trap.
Thank you. I'm going to see if I can find it, but I'll still explain it. She's holding two drinks, bringing it to like her mom, and like has a surprise face. And it's like me is on her, and then in each cup is like being really attracted to a girl, and then like really wanting to look like her or something.
Yeah.
Oh God.
My friend sent me that the other day, and she's bi, so I was like, "Yes, that's hilarious."
Oh yeah, I guess.
As soon as you said that, I was like, "Oh, this sounds like the same thing."
Yep. Yeah, that's definitely an internal struggle.
Yeah, I was really wondering why you were looking up Lindsay Lohan memes while Kyle was talking. I was like, why?
Typing like Lindsay Lohan hot girl.
Yeah, that's just like in Google, like Lindsay Lohan pretty girl drink.
The things you search to find memes, man. You should see my search queries. Don't.
Actually. No. I don't. I should not see those.
No.
Thank you very much.
I thought I couldn't imagine. I mean, Joe talked about it too, but I couldn't imagine like sitting there and not knowing which one. I mean, Jordan was talking about literally sitting there for minutes on end and being like, "Fuck," like which one do I pick? And I don't know what that's like, but I couldn't imagine that experience. That's like fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Super interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what else I have to say about it other than it was really interesting to talk to her about that. The black belt thing also still blows my mind. I was like, what? They're definitely like explicitly confirming trans identity. They have to be. Or affirming, I should say.
I mean, it's not like that doesn't exist in Japan or hasn't existed throughout Japan's history.
Right, right.
Like, we can talk about race as being something they don't know how to handle yet, but like...
Right.
Their history with gender and sexuality is very well documented and vast.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much no nation is good on race. But but in particular, like, it's rather difficult to see like, an anime series that doesn't use, like an anime series with a black character that isn't using some sort of stereotype. Mm-hmm. And such in it, and I'm reminded of Hunter has a character Canary who's a good character but seems to be based off a rather unfortunate like early 20th century stereotypes of black people in more recent shows.
I wonder like maybe Jet from Cowboy Bebop,
he doesn't always read as black.
Say he is, but he doesn't. You're right.
Yeah,
he doesn't. They always say like, "I'm a black guy from wherever." He says it at some point, and it's like, "Oh, really? They didn't draw you that way."
Yeah.
I haven't watched it sub, so I don't know if that's different in the Japanese sub as opposed to the dub.
Yeah, I have no idea. That dub is amazing. I don't know why you would watch it.
I hate when anime draws black characters with like huge lips or something.
Yeah, it's just like terrible.
The ultimate like American racist. Kind of detail. I hate it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, other than what we said about Jordan's interview, I don't know if I have anything else to say to y'all.
I'm excited to hear more about, you know, people's experiences. It seems like we all agree that, like, Pokemon is an adventure, and maybe some people in their lives find meaning in that when they're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And that does tie into a lot of queer non-conforming types of identities.
Yeah, you put it better than I could have. Thank you. I'm going to have you host from now on.
Nah.
I cede this podcast to Kyle. No! Now Kyle is the alcoholic. Go.
Oh, great. No.
Now you have to drink a lot.
This is mostly alcohol in my cup here.
There you go.
Red. That's why it's been very slow.
I mean, we've killed ours a while ago.
No, yeah.
Yeah, if we don't have anything else to say, I guess we can wait until part two. Yeah, also didn't tell listeners, but you'll see by the title, this is part one. We'll part two this later with more interviews. May or may not be an ongoing thing. We'll at least have a part two. But yeah, if y'all don't have anything else.
I wanted to... I don't know.
Go on.
I identify as a cis pansexual woman.
There you queer. Go.
There you go. So yeah, I guess that's not something I should have... We maybe could have prefaced like our experiences as having been in those contexts at the beginning of the podcast, but...
Sure, sure.
I forgot.
Right.
Yeah. I identify as a fucking mess, so...
that's like that ContraPoints. Are you familiar with ContraPoints on YouTube?
Yeah, yeah. I actually just started watching those videos, yeah.
She's amazing, but there's a gif of her like early in her transition where I was like... I ask myself constantly, how do I feel? And then it like shows like, it's like a rotating gif of a brain, and then it's like the male and female sign, and it's like I feel like shit. It's like, do I feel like a male or a female? And I answer, I just feel like fucking shit.
But to preface it and not make a joke of it, although like, yeah, jokes are funny about that, and right wingers don't know how to make good jokes. But yeah, I identify as non-binary, femme some sort. Still working out a lot of these things. So just, I don't know, just
gender queer.
Yeah, just say queer and gone with the show for now.
I don't know. I feel like. I mean, obviously, cis. Not obviously. I'll just say cis. Obviously, it's probably not the word I should use.
No, it's just always assumed.
That's right. No, I don't know. I think, like, more recently, playing with, like, bi or pan, perhaps, is the word I should use. And it's been something that, I don't know if, like, suppression is the word, but, like, throughout my life, I've been like, he's fucking hot. And then I just never, like, thought more of it.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, I can think more of it. And this is actually pretty enjoyable. I don't know. I never went down that route. But for all intents and purposes, I'm like cis straight presenting. I'm fucking about to marry a girl.
We have a baby girl. Queer.
That's right.
Daniel's our baby queer.
I feel like I can't give myself that label yet. I feel like
that's why I said baby. Earn it.
That's right.
And, yeah. I mean, like, yeah, whenever you're like, if that's a label that vibes with you at some point, like you can absolutely, own that.
Just feels like being a poser to a certain degree.
Yeah. Yeah. No one is going to, well, okay. There might be people on Tumblr who are going to like gatekeep about that or something like that. But like, however you're feeling is how it is.
Right.
So.
Yay.
Yay.
So, everybody. Be Kui. Play Pokemon. That's our message.
Yay. Okay. Peace. Thanks for listening.
Also, in Pokemon Sun and Moon, when I brought this up earlier, but when you have Machamp as the ride Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
And he just holds you in his arms. It's like, yeah. I mean, that's pretty much the Pokemon queer experience in a nutshell. So go push those rocks in front of you, being held by the biggest bear you've ever seen.
With a beak.
With a beak and multiple and more than two arms. Which is rad.
On that note, thank you for listening. We'll see you soon. This will be another installment later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Repetitive sedatives like every better with never remembering every degenerate
instead of forgetting and letting them into the setting like sediment. I'm that part. Mix it up with six guy, Rage Against Machine, bit of J-Rock, K-Dot. Switch it up, gangsta, getting on my stage props. Dilla with the beats and catch me singing like I'm Akon.
Oh my god, I just realized all these ads are gay. Gay Star News. I just looked and I'm like, oh, that's a cute... There's two cute girls in a hot tub together. And there's two men buying a house together.
Oh, wait, I have ad block on, no wonder.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, what are you talking about? It's two, like, gold star gay men, like, buying a house for one of my... Oh, it is two girls in a hot tub. Oh, my God. Ho seasons?
Ho seasons. Ho seasons. That is the name.
Why?
Just call me out, I guess.
What the fuck, yeah.